I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here, recording not from the home studio, recording from elsewhere, but this is NFL free agents, tampering, open window negotiations, all those things in free agency. Lots of deals being made, some not being made, I am very curious about. We, of course, my co-host, 49ers Plus Minus, Matt Barros. Barros, what strikes you about today? 49ers did some things, but maybe like still waiting on some other things?
Yeah, they hit the position that we all thought they were going to hit, which is defensive end, but it wasn't the big giant splash that we were all thinking about. Danielle Hunter, or maybe waiting on Joey Bosa. It was basically two smaller splashes that added up to a bigger one. I think that they're both good. I mean, they both were talking about Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos. I think they fill holes, and it was more depth related to me, I think. Leonard Floyd is the sort of bookend to Nick Bosa, and Gross-Matos, I think, can play all over the line. So I know he's been sort of billed as an edge player. The 49ers signed two edge players. He plays a lot inside. In fact, I think he's more of an effective pass rusher when he's rushing from the inside, like Charles Omenihu was a couple of seasons ago. I know that they used Eric Armstead on the outside and on the inside early on in this regime in 2017, 2018. I see Gross-Matos doing that, basically being a third down rusher. Maybe the third down pass rush package is Bosa and Floyd on the outside, Javon Hargrave on the inside, and then Matos right there next to him. That seems very plausible to me.
Do you think I had heard Danielle Hunter was somebody they were interested? Do you think that this was something where like this is plan B, or was it like let's go get two for the price of one? You know, it essentially looks like, you know, Floyd for $10 million a year. It looks something like a guarantee of 12. So this kind of might be a 1 year deal. Like it just feels like announced as a 2 year 20 or reported as, but it feels like this might be a one plus deal. And you know, Gross Matos, I'm sure, was less than that. Do you think this was the initial plan going in?
Yeah, I think that they wanted to look at Danielle Hunter. He's not signed yet.
Can they still do it? Does that mean that he's asking for the world here?
I mean, is it just a number that doesn't make sense to any team? Is that why he's available? I don't know what the answer is to that, but maybe this is plan B. You know, I think it works. It sort of adds up to maybe a Danielle Hunter. You know, Leonard Floyd's a little bit older than Hunter, maybe a year and a half older, isn't as prolific. I'm not convinced that he's the guy you want setting the edge all the time. Mm. He's like 6'4", 240, not a huge guy. He's sort of built like Randy Gregory is. Mm. So he's got power to him, but he looks like a scarecrow. I know that Vic Fangio has always liked him. Fangio was in Chicago when the Bears drafted Leonard Floyd. Brandon Staley was Fangio's outside linebackers coach at that point, and that's what Leonard Floyd essentially was. He was an outside linebacker in that Vic Fangio 3-4. So Staley has been with him in a couple of places. I imagine he was speaking to Shanahan about Floyd and what he brings. Shanahan obviously is as familiar with him as any opposing coaches, having played him, I think, seven times between 2021 and 2022. So, you know, this is an opponent that they're familiar with. They know what he can do. I do think that as you go into your 30s, you don't want him playing 900, 1,000 snaps, which is what he was playing in previous years. So I think the Gross Matos signing helps in that regard, too. I mean, it takes Nick Bosa off the field sometimes, and it takes Leonard Floyd off the field sometimes as well.
Would you say Chase Young, Randy Gregory, like these guys are out? Or, I mean, they do need extra – they always love extra defensive ends. Like the edge guys are multipliers. So where do you think they are with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the numbers. They have eight defensive linemen in uniform for every game. So right now – you're looking at a group that's got Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave, Leonard Floyd. That's your starter. You're still missing one starter. This is assuming that Eric Armstead gets released. So you need a defensive tackle starter. I don't think Gross Matos is a starter there. I think he's a third down option there. So that's a pretty big missing element. And I know there's been talk about the Denver Broncos cutting DJ Jones. I think that he would be a nice fit there. Just the right price point for the 49ers. Obviously, he could kind of step in right away, plays the run well. He's got a little bit more pop and the pass rush than you think. So I just named three guys. And then you also have Drake Jackson, Kalia Davis, Gross Matos, and Robert Beal Jr. That adds up to seven. So I think there's room for one more starter and then two more guys on the active roster. So some combination of free agency and the draft, you're talking about bringing in three more guys, I think, if you want to do it the right way.
Does seem like they're light, you know, as deep as they've been at defensive tackle, they are pretty light now. Is there a name out there that you mentioned DJ, or anybody else like that, like somebody they could get just to man that position?
Looks like Javon Kinlaw is going to sign with the Jets. That makes total sense given who coaches the Jets. He made sense. I mean, there are a couple guys. They had Hassan Ridgeway, for example, here a couple of years ago, and I think he played well for them. And he's a big body, too. He's a nose tackle type. I don't know if he's a starter either. He would be more somebody that you would feel secure lining up on that second line. And by the way, I mentioned Kalia Davis as part of that seven. I don't think there's any sort of guarantee. I mean, he's still a projection at this point. He's barely played for this team. So it just underscores your point. I think that they've got a lot of work to do, and a lot of that work has shifted with Eric Armstead possibly moving on from defensive end, which jumped out as free agency began, to defensive tackle now. Well, and I also think we should talk about there's a hope, I think, with the organization that maybe Eric Armstead isn't gone after all, that maybe Armstead kind of figures out the market, was probably offended that the 49ers came to him asking him to cut his salary. This is a guy who just played three games and at a high level with a torn meniscus. And I would say that Armstead would be the type of guy who would be kind of loath to do that anyway. And the fact that he was playing injured for them, maybe even, you know, he could reason that he's sort of sacrificing his body, sacrificing future years so that this team could get to the Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden they come back and they say, listen, we want you to take a pay cut. So he's sort of recoiled at that. But it could be that he goes out on the open market and realizes that what the 49ers were offering him was a good deal based on what he could get elsewhere. And there might be some places. I mean, Houston, I just talked about Kinlaw to the Jets. That's probably not an option anymore. Mike McDaniel in Miami, they could use more bodies, more big bodies along the defensive line. So I think he's going to test that out and find out. But I think it's notable that he hasn't been cut yet. And I think the 49ers are holding out hope that he changes his mind.
This happens, right? These things get thrown out there, floated, and then something else happens and they bring him back. Listen, we know the agent can be testing the market now, even before he's cut. Like, what is the number that's going to be available out there? And, you know, say it isn't 17 salary, maybe it's 12, you know, and the 49ers don't need this money, right? They do not need this money right now to get under the cap. This is, I think, is to kind of buttress them for future numbers, or if they want to make another move, like say they were in the Daniel Hunter thing and that was getting up to 25 a year or whatever. Like, I think that was what this move was about, because they restructured Warner, you know, they've done some other things. I don't think they were desperate for every dollar. I'd be curious, you know, Armstead might just be pissed, right? We know that. How do you think that goes over, just this whole process with Armstead? Obviously a leader, a team captain, guys, somebody that defensive lineman for sure. And I'm sure almost everybody in the locker room looks up to him literally and figuratively. How does this go over in the locker room?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In the locker room, yes, it's a great question. I mean, he is the leader of that defensive line group. I think if he did leave, it would mean that Nick Bosa sort of takes another step up in his leadership role and becomes the guy. Because right now, Armstead is sort of the leader of that defensive line group. I heard that he was upset. I mean, no two ways about it. I don't think it ever got nasty in the negotiations or anything like that, but I mean, you can imagine, because he was the guy, he's their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee year after year after year. He does everything right for this team, and he's very kind of conscientious of that. And so now, after doing all that plus playing hurt and playing well hurt, I think is, you know, sort of another layer to this. He played really well in the Super Bowl. They come and say, hey, can you take a pay cut? And I wonder what that pay cut is. The fact of the matter, he's probably not a $17.5 million a year guy anymore. But, you know, the 49ers signed him to that contract. And Armstead's point is that you have to live up to the contract, and they're trying to get out from underneath it. So we'll see. I mean, it's interesting because you do have a little wiggle room if you're the agent right now to sort of test the market to figure out what that number is. And if by Wednesday at 1 p.m., they're not getting anywhere close to what the 49ers are offering, it wouldn't be a surprise if he comes back.
It's just interesting, right? He got his deal because what? The 49ers created space by trading his buddy, his Oregon comrade, DeForest Buckner, who, guess what, had played great in the Super Bowl just months before. It's just this, the way this business goes. The players do not have to like it. The locker room, you know, pretty well could be a little bugged by this and realizing it could happen to them. But this is the way the business is. It's a cold business. And he has been hurt. And I'm sure they're like, you know, if we're paying for a guy who's going to play 8 games a year, this number cannot be that high. And, you know, again, people in that locker room can dislike it if they want. I imagine Juszczyk's taking a pay cut or something close to that. Like this is just what happens when guys hit 30, 31, 32, and teams are looking for ways to get better. And the 49ers might regret this if he moves on. And, you know, they can't replace Eric Armstead, right? That's not a guy you just go, boop, we got a guy to replace Eric Armstead. But I kind of understand it too. Like I predicted that he would have to take a pay cut in order to stay with the team. I just like, that's just the numbers too. You just look at the numbers that they can maneuver around. There aren't many big ones. He was one of them. He might've been the only one, you know, that they really could have just said, okay, we can take the hit post June 1. It's going to be some dead money, but they could take it. And they could at least discuss it with him. And if he's proud saying, I don't want to do this, I'll go somewhere else. I'll go beat you somewhere else. It's hey, more power to him, but it's going to be a loss if he moves on. Okay. The other losses they could have, I mean, we saw Charlie Warner go, you know, what, $4 million a year. Where did he sign? I didn't even really pick up Bruce.
$4 million. I thought he was going to get three. He got four. And the agent says that he had higher offers than that, but wanted to play in Atlanta because he's from Georgia, and he played at the University of Georgia. So, I mean, he was, you know, he didn't have a very big role in this offense. But he was good at what he did, especially this last season. And he was good on special teams as well. So now the question is whether one of the rookie tight ends from 2023 can kind of fill that role. And I would think that Braden Willis is more of the move guy. You know, he barely played as a rookie, and when he did play, he wasn't great. I will say that when Charlie Warner played as a rookie, he wasn't great either, and really kind of showed a big leap from year one to year two. I remember that, seeing that in the spring and the summer, that you could just tell that he was stronger, was moving better, and had better technique. So I think the 49ers are looking for the same sort of growth curve from Willis that they got from Warner 4 years ago. And then Cameron Latu is a big question mark. I mean, they like him because he's very strong and can be an inline blocker. He didn't do anything last year and was not great in the passing game in the summer. So he's a big projection as well. I don't think that they're going to do anything big at that position. But they might have to. I mean, they might have to bring in a veteran to sort of hedge themselves against these two really unknown young players at that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've been pointing to, like, maybe 2025 is kind of when this all takes a turn. Armstead was maybe the first in 2024. You look at the tight end position, I think, you know, George Kittle is somebody we might be having this discussion about next season. Can you feel that? Like, his number goes way up. They're, you know, they can't do it now. He's very productive now, but what if he takes it to, you know, gets hurt for four games next season? Could they be trying to get him to take a pay cut or release him? Like, I think you've kind of said that in the past. I don't know that you said exactly, and Debo is another name. Can you kind of feel this coming? You think the locker room can kind of feel this coming?
Yeah, I guess so. There's just nobody in the pipeline. Last year's draft, this goes back to Trey Lance. Last year's draft was the tight end draft. A lot of these teams found really good tight ends. The Green Bay Packers, the 49ers were facing one of those guys in the playoffs. The Lions hit it out of the park with Sam Laporta, another Iowa guy. Last year was the year to get a tight end. The 49ers didn't have a first round pick or a second round pick. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they have a first or a second round pick? Because they traded them to get Trey Lance, a guy who wasn't even on the team. So, I mean, when you're looking at, when you say, oh, well, you know, the 49ers made up for, you know, the Trey Lance pick with, by picking Brock Purdy. Yeah, to a degree, but they also traded some draft picks and some opportunities to put guys in the pipeline at positions. I think wide receiver is another one. If they say goodbye to Deebo Samuel, after this coming season, who do they have there? These are the consequences. The chickens will come home to roost at some point, with a massive whiff at quarterback with Trey Lance. And, we might be starting to see that now. I mean, you can't expect to get a great tight end when you're picking at the very, very end of round three, which is what the 49ers were doing last year.
Well, let's stick to the quarterback position. They do re-sign Brandon Allen. I've kind of assumed he's going to be the backup quarterback. I guess there's room for him not to be. You're telling me Sam Darnold or maybe reportedly going to the Vikings, or there might be other teams. Is Darnold gone, and are they okay with Brandon Allen being their QB2?
Yeah, I think this was the plan all along. I think this is why they signed Brandon Allen last year. Because they had an inkling that Trey Lance wasn't going to be around, and that, if everything went according to plan, Sam Darnold would round into form to the point where he would be in demand this year. And it sounds like he is. Once Kirk Cousins went to Atlanta, it seemed like the Vikings decided that they were going to make Darnold at least the sort of the placeholder, the guy you have to beat out in order to be the starter in Minnesota. So I don't know what that means in terms of contract. I mean, quarterbacks make a lot of money, and this would be good for the 49ers as far as canceling out one of their other signings so that they might get a comp pick in 25. I don't know where things stand right now with that. But I think that he's going to get a nice deal. I don't know what Javon Kinlaw's deal is like. This is happening as we're talking right now. Those two, Warner and then Chase Young, and there's been no kind of movement on him, but those four that I mentioned were expected to be the big 49ers, signings who sign elsewhere.
Now they did re-sign Barch? What is that?
Barch. You didn't have that in your
column mentioned him, unfortunately. Your guy. But like, they did not address the offensive line in any major way. Sorry, Ben Barch. Do you think they're just saving that for the draft, or is it a second, third day thing? Get a guard. They do need a tackle. I think everybody knows it. They purposely stayed away from it, I think, on the first day of free agency. Do you think they're just saving that for the draft?
I think so. I mean, I think that they could re-sign John Feliciano at right guard still. So that means that they've extended Colton McKibbitz, which isn't blowing anyone away, that they've brought back Ben Barch, who's going to compete with Nick Sakel to be sort of the backup center, one of the backup guards. So, I mean, that's the level that we're talking about here. That's what you and I were discussing a few days ago, is that they make a big move at defensive end in free agency, and they use that 31st draft maybe as a springboard to move up higher in the first round for that offensive tackle who, you know, perhaps competes with Colton McKibbitz. But I think the idea there would be that guy, whoever you draft, one day is taking over for Trent Williams on the left side. So this guy that we've been talking about, the kid from Oklahoma, Tyler Guyton, would be, I think, you know, ideal. I mean, there are a couple of later first round offensive tackles who have wheels, but this guy has wheels plus he's got good length. I mean, he's doesn't have a lot of experience at Oklahoma. He's young, but I think people feel like he's got all the tools to eventually become really good.
Yeah, that's why one reason I came off of Brian Burns is, and who
it's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Was what tagged and traded to the Giants today in what, 5 years, $150 million, you know, guaranteed, I think 90 or whatever, some, you know, massive deal, Edge deal. Like, I think it's going to come in second under Bosa's deal for Edge. But, you know, cost a second and a fifth. It doesn't sound like a lot, but 49ers need to keep that second in case they want to move up in the first. Like, I think they need to keep all these picks. They need to keep their, you know, their cupboard full because they might need to, they need picks. And I know they've got some extra ones. So you might need to move some in order to get to 22 or, you know, whatever, 19. You know, they were the last time that they were 31, we're talking about that Super Bowl year. It's the year they traded Buckner and they got the pick that turned into Kinlaw, but also was 31 they turned into 24 to move up for Brandon Ayuk. Like, I just feel that that's 31 is a spot where you might just want to throw a couple picks and get up into the top 20, 21. And go get the tackle that you really want instead of sitting back and waiting for other people to take the tackles they like, and you take what's left over. I see like Jordan Mason kind of mocked to them. I don't know. I haven't looked at tackles, but just the size of Guyton is interesting to me. And, you know, the idea that he looks like a left tackle. He just looks like a left tackle in the NFL looks like. We shall see how it all plays out. Anything else you're waiting for? We are recording this on Monday night, March 11th. Probably be coming out tomorrow, Tuesday. Stuff will be going on. Like, what are you looking for Tuesday for the 49ers to do?
Well, I still think that they have to add a defensive tackle. I mean, if they're going to say goodbye to Arik Armstead, because you brought up a good point going back to the Buckner trade. In trading Buckner that year, they painted themselves into a corner where they had to take a defensive tackle in the draft. And it turns out it was a bad draft for defensive tackles.
Yep.
It was between Kinlaw and this guy named, I think it was Ross Blacklock. And he hasn't turned out to be very good at all. But, I mean, he very easily could have been the 49ers pick there. They're going to do a wide receiver and a defensive tackle in some order. And so they got Kinlaw, and then they drafted Brandon Ayuk after that. So, I don't think the 49ers, A, have the wherewithal to get both a defensive tackle and an offensive tackle. And like I said, I mean, you don't want to be forced to take a certain position because it just might not fall that way. And you might be straining to bring somebody in, which, you know, frankly, I think the 49ers probably did with Kinlaw. So I don't think it can be a top of the line guy. I don't know. I don't think there are any out there anymore, but I would say a DJ Jones guy, type guy, maybe $7 million a year, 5 to 7. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the caliber that we're talking about. I mean, I think that they would ideally like to have Arik Armstead back on $10 to $12 million deal. I don't know. I don't know what their magic number is for him, but I think that is the best option for them. And if that's not going to happen, they need to bring in somebody that they think can, you know, start and play 65% of the snaps a game.
I threw it out there in the comments. So he's, you know, got some guaranteed money that they're still got to pay him. Well, it's just better for them to pay it now to a guy who's on your team, offer him a little bit more money over 2 years than you would pay him in this 1 year. And, you know, if he can get his head around it, if he can accept it, I understand he might not. It might be more money than anyone else is willing to pay him. I understand he feels like, you know, maybe taken advantage of. He feels bitter about it. But because they've got so much into him, it's worth it for them just to keep him, not even to cut him, because then that money accelerates immediately on their cap. And, like, I think if once they cut him, they may not be able to bring him back. Because that money, you almost have to pay him twice, right? Because you have to pay him for the accelerated bonus. That's done. Once you do it, you have to do it once you cut him. And then you'd have to pay him to bring him back. Just try to negotiate the sweet spot of bringing him back for, like, you know, give him 2 years, and maybe you can pay him more than you certainly would have paid him for 1 year, and maybe more than he could get anywhere else. That's just the way I'm looking at it. Ever since that got reported, I was wondering, you know, this feels like maybe a trial balloon. It feels like something, like, you know, to try to get one side move, the other side move. Who knows? It did not have to happen right now. That really hit me. Like, it did not have to happen. And guess what? It didn't happen on the first day. might not happen for a couple more days. And maybe there's an edgy Eric Armstead coming back. I think that might be interesting. All right, Barros, I think we've gone through everything we can. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing it. A little emergency first day of free agency podcast. I'm coming out of my my seclusion here on vacation, but I had to come back for this one. Way to go, Barros. You're not on vacation. You're just grinding it out. Keep going, Barros. Keep going.
Yeah. Yetur Gross-Matos gets signed, and Tim Kalkami has
Let's
to go.
Let's just do it. Let's do it. I was thinking they could get Daniel Hunter, but maybe that number, maybe he was like asking for 28, right? If he's asking for 28, 29.
No, he's not going to get it from the 49ers.
He's not getting that. All right, everybody, that's the show for today. Thanks for listening.